The stories contained in this podcast are the recollections of the guests we've invited onto the show. We are an outlet for people to share their truths, and we accept no legal responsibilities for the stories contained herein.
I'm Kendra Sheets.
And I'm Rich Gill.
And this is Enough, a podcast that aims to shine light into the darkened corners of the music industry while discussing the ways we can and should improve ourselves and in turn our community.
Welcome back to another episode of Subtext. We've spent the last handful of episodes discussing the myriad of celebrity and musician sexual assault cases, which have come to light over the last 6 or so months. Today, we're shifting gears away from that just a bit. We're still staying in the realm of music, but today we're discussing the New York Philharmonic.
For those who may not know, the New York Philharmonic is the major symphony orchestra, which is based in New York City. It was founded in 1842. And is the oldest major symphony orchestra in the entire country. It is extremely prestigious and has launched the careers of many classically trained musicians, such as, I don't know anything about classical. people who are super well known, though, I bet.
Yeah, probably. Well, again, we're not well versed in that aspect of music. So that being said, why are we talking about this today? We don't know a lot about classical. But there is a link to why we're discussing it. On April 12th of this year, just last month, Vulture, a site which has ties to New York Magazine, posted an article entitled "Hidden Sexual Assault Scandal at the New York Philharmonic." The article stated that in 2010, a Philharmonic horn player named Kara Kaiser reported allegations of misconduct by two members of the Phil. Those men, Matthew Mucky, unfortunate last name, and Lian Wang, were fired from the orchestra in 2018. 8 years later, fired from the orchestra. This occurred after the ensemble hired a federal judge to conduct an independent investigation with the outcome that the two had engaged in misconduct. But no other details were given at that time.
Once the men were dismissed, obviously, as always happens, they denied the allegations and appealed the decision to their union. That union, Local 802 of the American Federation of Musicians, decided that the pair was terminated without cause. And they forced the orchestra to reinstate them in 2020, and they have been part of the New York Philharmonic's roster ever since. Because of this, an investigative reporter took a look at the case and put together the following based on interviews with Kara, law enforcement, Kara's friends and family, along with documents from the Vail PD in Colorado. Her story is as follows.
So on July 24th of 2010, the New York Phil was playing a week-long residency in Vail, Colorado for a music festival. Kara claimed that one of the nights they were out, she was drugged by Mucky and Wang, and then she was raped by Mucky. She woke up feeling groggy and out of it and expressed concern for what might have happened to her, to her husband, and to her friend Amanda Stewart, who was also a trombonist in the New York Phil. She went to the police, and then she went to a nearby hospital where she was given a rape kit and tested for signs of date rape drugs. Let me stop there and just state that in many of these situations, these things don't happen in this chronological order. She did, for all intents and purposes, everything that people normally ask victim survivors to do. Did you tell anyone? Did you get a rape kit? Did you go to the hospital? And she did all of these things. We'll continue. She then obtained an order of protection that kept Mucky from interacting with her. But when the Vail residency ended at the end of the week, no charges were yet filed against either of the men.
The Vail detective on the case, Detective Jacobs, did find Mucky's DNA on a personal piece of evidence Kara provided. She also later realized that the 10-panel drug test that she took at the hospital did not test for GHB, so she submitted a hair sample and it came back positive. Detective Jacobs sent the case file over to the 5th Judicial District Attorney's Office with the strong recommendation that charges be filed. But the DA stated that the positive hair follicle test, quote, did not meet the standards for litigation, end quote. And they declined to prosecute Mucky. At a meeting between the DA and Kara, The DA stated that he did not think she had enough evidence to proceed with the case. Both men remained in the orchestra, and both Kara and her friend Amanda Stewart, who were both up for tenure but did not receive it, left New York altogether.
The New York Phil decided to revisit the allegations in 2018, just after the start of the Me Too movement. They spent $336,573 on a six-month investigation, which concluded with the decision that the men had, quote, engaged in misconduct warranting their termination. That resulted in their September 2018 firing. Again, 8 years after the alleged incident occurred. As Rich had mentioned, they filed a grievance with their union, and in April of 2020, an arbitrator ruled in their favor. He stated, and I'm going to try very hard not to get too upset here, that the, quote, events at issue occurred some 8, 10, and 12 years prior, and that there is a, quote, potential degradation of corroborative evidence over time. He also wrote that, quote, the task of demonstrating assault charges, including those resulting from the refusal to take no for an answer, can be difficult to prove. Rape kit, GHB positive drug test, Kara reporting it the next day to a friend, to her husband. But no, it's difficult to prove. No matter how much evidence, it seems like it's always too difficult to prove.
After this decision, the New York Philharmonic issues the following statement. We are profoundly disappointed by the arbitrator's decision. While we obviously disagree with the arbitrator and stand by our original actions and decisions in this matter, we will, as we must, abide by the arbitrator's ruling and reinstate both players. And that's where Mucky and Wang have been ever since, playing with the Philharmonic. However, when this vulture reporter, Sammy Sussman, brought this almost 15-year-old story into the public just last month, other musicians of other major orchestras have come forth in support of Kara. There was another female musician who said that she felt like she had previously been pushed out of the New York Orchestra for her support of Kara during the time of the incident. And another additional woman who came forward with allegations of misconduct. The New York Phil was forced to do something again.
A message from the New York Philharmonic's president and CEO was shared on social media. It stated that the orchestra had engaged with a lawyer to launch an independent investigation into the culture of the Phil over the years. In addition, the two men have again been removed from the Philharmonic's roster. Of course, Mr. Wang's lawyer claims that this is due to the Philharmonic facing a firestorm that, quote unquote, the distorted article ignited. And the Phil stated that they are preparing to seek changes to their audition and tenure review policies and procedures. They are planning to team up with the union, Local 802, for this. On a bright note, Local 802 now has a female president and executive director as of 2023 named Sarah Cutler. And she stated, as a woman, a musician, and a new union president, I am horrified by what was in the story, and we are committing the full resources of Local 802 to erase the culture of complicity that has raged in the New York Philharmonic for too long.
That's a promising sentiment. Now let's see if it's backed up with action.
Enough is a podcast centering on surviving abuse, harassment, and assault in the music scene. To help get the word out, please like and subscribe and share with your friends. If you have been on the receiving end of harm from someone, be it artist, venue owner, booking agent, audience member, or someone else, and would like to share your story on a future episode, please reach out to us at thisisenoughpodcast@gmail.com. All correspondences are kept confidential.